good morning, everybody. I'm Phil. Most of you know me.
If you don't, hi.
Right, now I have to switch hats. I've gone from host. Now I switch to senior leadership team member. Okay, so what I wanted to do in that regard is I just want to give you a really quick kind of overview of how the leadership team doing with Scott retiring and Tab coming in as the interim lead pastor. So as you all know, we went through the whole process of advertising and interviewing and talking to people about the job. And we had a couple that we were looking at, we offered the job to, and they turned us down. So what did that look like for the leadership? And what I want to try to just let you guys know is it was a very cool process. We felt that was the people we were supposed to offer the job to. They turned it down. So then what did that look like after? Is as a leadership team, we didn't start panicking or worrying or like, what do we do now? It was very cool because the posture was, okay, God, what are you doing? So we pressed into him because when what we thought was going to happen didn't, we just pressed into him and said, okay, God, what are you doing? What do you want us to do? And then the staff came to us and said, we think we've been led for Tab to step in as the interim. And unanimously, we thought that was an absolutely fantastic choice. And I just really want to make it clear that it wasn't a, oh my gosh, we need somebody to do this. Quick, Tab, you'll do. No, it was an absolutely 100% like, that's fantastic. Okay, now we see what God's doing. God's asking us to get Tab to step into this. And she prayed about it. And God told her the same thing. So as a leadership team, we are so, so excited for Tab to step in. Sad to see Scott go, even though he bugs me sometimes because he makes fun of me. He's awfully mean. We're super excited for Tab to step in and the leadership. We're 100% behind her and working together as a team. Now, one of the questions that we've had various people on the leadership team is, we all know Tab and we know Tab takes on a lot. Sometimes we think it's more than we should, but we all know Tab likes to do. She's a doer. So one of the things the leadership team did was we said, okay, Tab, if you're going to take this on, you need an accountability partner. And you get to choose who that is. And she asked myself and Jen to be her accountability partners. So we meet with Tab regularly to make sure she's doing okay and to help her just walk through how does she hand stuff off? How does she do this so she's not burning out? Because what we don't want to do is burn Tab out. Because we love Tab and we want her to continue doing this stuff. So in that, Jen and I have been meeting with her regularly and Tab's doing a fantastic job. She's just stepping into this role with both feet. She's got it super under control. She's doing a fantastic job. And the whole leadership team is walking alongside her just to support her through this and make sure this is an awesome time. Okay, now it's going to be Scott. I think it's you. You're on the sheet next. That's what it says. We can skip that part if you want. We can just...
Thank you, Phil. Wow, here we are. It seems so far away 3 years ago, but here we are. And I say that fully aware that my call to a pastor on my life, it began long before I was hired here. It began back in 1990, something like that, because I was going through about 4 or 5 months of just feeling that God wanted more. It was like, what the heck? You know, you got everything, right? So, and what I heard from the Lord was, will you come and love my church with me? That's what I sensed. And naively, I said, yes. We're not realizing the full impact. Because I had plans, right? I had plans. And God wasn't working with my plans. My plans was to, you know, go for promotion in the policing. Because I was told that'd be good. Move on up. And then God sort of, sure, I got other ideas for you. But here we are. Just pause. So the shirt, it was given to me yesterday at our church at a retirement party for me. And, you know, just teasing me about that I like to have my ducks in a row. And I thought, I'm not that bad, you know. I'm not that. And then, I'm thinking, well, yeah, I guess a little, you know, because I was thinking, you know, my drawer's got to be, everything has a place. I slowly, when I started to get interested in baking, I just slowly took over the kitchen a little bit. And I have things the way I like it so that I know where to get them, right? And every now and then April will have what I think is misplaced something, and I got to put it back. So yes, I do have my ducks in a row. However, you'll miss the ducks. You'll miss the ducks. I have said to Tab, probably, you can count on one hand, maybe. I've told Tab, when I've seen Tab bouncing around here and there, going, you know, if there is one thing you remind me of, there's a Pixar movie, I think it's Pixar, Over the Hedge. And you know the squirrel that just hypercaffeine, you know? And I said, that's you. If there was anything I would pick, it would be that, you know? So, you know you can't even put two squirrels in a row. So there will be, nothing will be in a row, nothing. Squirrels just go all over the place. It's true, totally true. Anyway, all that to say, told Tab number of times, I'm total at peace with the way things have transpired. There's just a piece about it, just is. So there's a few things I want to say. I better get on saying it here. 17 years ago, I engaged a spiritual director. Her name was Shirley Gatching. And I met with her weekly when I was doing the Ignatian spiritual exercises. That was a period of 8 months. And then after the exercises were done, I continued to meet with her monthly. And simply the spiritual director, she would just ask, what's God been saying to you? How's your journey with God going? Things like that. And I would share stuff. And my quiet times that I have are pretty simple. I pick a couple of passages that I'm reading through scripture, usually one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. And I just read short pieces and I'm listening. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, just come speak to me. Lord, what is it you're saying in this passage? And I journal. I do a lot of journaling. My journals are usually written in the form of a prayer to God. And this one time, I was slowly journeying through the Psalms, and I sensed the strong presence of the Holy Spirit just on me, but also this pull to this Psalm. And when I read it, what I pictured in my mind's eye was like a herald, meaning like a town crier or someone that announces something. And this herald was first praising and just exclaiming the beauty of King Jesus in this psalm, just declaring the beauty and the magnificence of King Jesus. And then this herald or town crier turns to the church and has words to the church. There was this pull that was on me in this psalm. So I stayed with that until the next time I met with Shirley. And when I met with her, and I shared this, what was going on, and I shared the psalm. And she said to me, she said, I think that is God's grace that marks your calling. She says, I want you to stay with that for as long as you need to and drink deeply from it. Drink deeply from it. That psalm was Psalm 45, and I want to read it to you this morning. And it says this. Beautiful words stir my heart. I will recite a lovely poem about the king. For my tongue is like the pen of a skillful poet. You are the most gracious, most handsome of all. Gracious words stream from your lips. God himself has blessed you forever. Put on your sword, O mighty warrior. You are so glorious, so majestic. In your majesty, ride out to victory, defending truth, humility, and justice. Go forth to perform awe-inspiring deeds. Your arrows are sharp, piercing your enemies' hearts. The nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. Myrrh, aloes, and cassia perfume your robes. In ivory palaces, the music of strings entertains you. King's daughters are among your noble women, and at your right side stands the queen wearing jewelry of finest gold from Ophir. Listen to me, O royal daughter. Take to heart what I say. Forget your people and your family far away, for your royal husband delights in your beauty. Honor him, for he is your lord. The princess of Tyre will shower you with gifts. The wealthy will beg your favor. The bride, a princess, looks glorious in her golden gown. In her beautiful robes, she is led to the king, accompanied by her bridesmaids. What a joyful and enthusiastic procession as they enter the king's palace. It ends with the words, your sons will become kings like their father. You will make them rulers over many lands. I will bring honor to your name in every generation. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. I want to say something to you guys, and then I want to say something to you, Tep, from this psalm here. Two verses I want to give to you as a church. Two verses are verse 10 and 11 in Psalm 45. That says, listen to me, O royal daughter. Take to heart what I say. Forget your people and your family far away. For your royal husband delights in your beauty. Honor him, for he is your Lord. The call to forget our family. When a couple gets married, they have one thing on their mind, and that is each other. That's what they focus on when they're preparing for the wedding. They focus on that. There is a call to the church in the world to get your eyes off of the world, to forget the ways of the world, and to focus on Jesus. We are to be that light in the world. Jesus says, you are a light on a hill. Let it shine. We are to be in love with our Savior, with Jesus. That love relationship we are to have. And there is a calling on us. Now, one of the things in the that the vineyard is known for is this intimate love with Jesus. It's known for that. At the beginning of the days there, the songs were simple and they were love songs to Jesus. That's what they were. And I believe that the reason the Holy Spirit would fall is because when together as a people who are pouring out our love to God, the love just pours back. It just does. They're prayers, they're communal prayers together. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. On the wedding day, is there anything other than her husband that the bride is interested in? Nothing. One focus, one is waiting for when the ceremony starts. And we are to be like that as a church, waiting for that, desperate for that. Because it's going to be beautiful. Because that wedding day will come. She wants to be with the one she loves. So don't get wrapped up in the things of the world. Hey, the world's crazy right now. But guess what? It was crazy all down through history. Read the history. It was crazier sometimes. And guess what? It's going to be crazy 100 years from now. We do crazy well in this world. We just do. We've proved it. We try to make it look good. We do. Guys, be enraptured by Jesus. Be enraptured by him. The wedding ceremony is coming. But why be enraptured? Your royal husband, Jesus, is delighted in you. Delighted in his church. Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves his church and calls us to love the church as well. Messed up? Absolutely. The institution? Jesus doesn't delight in our institution, doesn't delight in our buildings, doesn't delight in all of our programs and stuff. He delights in you, in us. He didn't die for the buildings. He didn't give his life for that. He gave his life for me, for you. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So I urge you, I beg you, more than anything else, fail in any area, don't fail in loving Jesus. Don't fail there. Don't forget that. Love him all your heart. You are God's beloved. You know, my dear Tab, I don't know if you've ever heard Tab describe herself with these words, but she'll sometimes say, I know I'm a wackadoodle. The proper name for that, and I've said this to her, she's like a mystic. She's like a mystic. If you've known any of the ancient, some of the ancient mystics, and there's modern day mystics as well, but if you've known any of the ancient mystics, there's Teresa of Avila, there's Teresa of Lisieux, there is St. John of the Cross, St. Francis. And when you read their stuff, this deep love relationship they have with God is just amazing. Like you can go, where do you go? Where do you go that you go that deep? And you have that. You go deep at times. And the only reason, Tab, sometimes people go why is because they haven't been there. They haven't been deep before. That's what people do want to go there. It dawned on me this week, Tab, that it's actually your turn right now as interim lead to continue this race of this love for Jesus and this intimacy, that you can take it further. And it's time for you to take it further. And that's why, you know, the baton will be passed to you. That God has called you to be the poet, like from Psalm 45. Those words that were written, beautiful words stir my heart. I'll recite a lovely poem about the king, for my tongue is like the pen of a skillful poet. Tab, when you talk about Jesus, your words are like the skillful pen of a poet. I pray that you will take us further. The responsibility's on you, but I pray for us that we will go there in the depths that Tab has gone. So please take us further into this endless sea of love that flows from God to all of humanity. Do that. Remind us again and again that we need to forget this world. We get so hung up on the world. We bring our politics into things. Take us back. Remind us again and again because we forget. It's like last week we sang the song, Prone to Wander. We're prone to wander. We just are. So take us back again and again. Remind us over and over that the wedding ceremony is coming. Help us to be like that bride on our wedding day that is just eager for when that time comes. Above all, Tab, shepherd us, love us, encourage us. From time to time, you may need to prod us. Just don't use an electric prod, okay? A little poke, right? In my prayer, Tab, you know, Phil talked about that. The senior leadership team doesn't want you to take on everything. You to take, like you are a very responsible person. And you take on everything. But, you know, I wrote down here, promise us that you will never let the work of the church overtake your love relationship with Jesus. There's only one thing that matters. Is that we can all say, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves, that we know that. So teach us. And more importantly, lead us by your example. So, who's next?
Anybody knows Tab, you know, if you're in the wrong, she'll give you a whoosh. So.
And sometimes, you probably heard her say this, she'll say, I want to eat that person.
So you've been warned. Don't do as you're told. Don't do what God's telling you. You either get spanked or eaten, one of the two. So, Okay, so I believe first we have a video from David Roos, the national leader of the vineyard.
Hey, all you fine people out there in, well, I was going to say Eastern Canada, but to tell you the truth, every time I'm in the Atlantic provinces, they get so miffed that I call Ontario the East. So for me, a Western guy, you guys are East, but for the Atlantic people, you're not quite. So in Central Canada, in Cambridge, Ontario, I am sending you just huge greetings. For those of you that don't know me, my name is David Roos, and I'm in the role of National Director in Vineyard Canada, which, given our values and the way that we're set up, isn't like a major, like top-down kind of big deal. But it is a place of service where we just try to serve the whole nation and hold us together as a movement. Anyway, just wanting to give your whole community a huge shout out, but also going to refine that a little bit in just a second to a specific person who you probably know I'm about to talk about. But when I think about Cambridge and pray for you guys, and as we've been holding you close, what springs to mind immediately every time is a Eugene Peterson quote, which talks about following Jesus in a long-term way. He describes it like a long obedience in the same direction. And that's what I think of when I think of you guys, honestly, all the way back to the very beginning days with Steve Stewart and Art Ray and Dan Wilt and Chris McQueen and just the whole mix. And then Scott, you know, obviously stepping into the role, another shift and transition with Tabitha Fellman just kind of holding the reins right now as you guys are navigating some of the next steps. This following of Jesus thing isn't so much about getting it right all the time. It's about exactly what Paul Peterson describes here, a long obedience in the same direction. One of my favorite texts in just understanding what it's like to follow the Spirit as a community of people, Acts chapter 16. I don't know if you're familiar with this story. It's kind of known in the church world as the Macedonian call, but the whole story is set up as a group of about 30 people, along with the Apostle Paul. They're trying to find their way. They're trying to obey the leading of the Spirit, and they end up in multiple different cities and places thinking this is their landing part in obedience to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit just keeps shifting their direction and shifting their direction until they land into a moment where Paul has an open vision. Luke makes it very clear. The whole community, it says, after we concluded together, we should go to Macedonia. That's where we went. But as each step along the journey, it would have been very easy for them to think, are we making mistakes here? Are we misstepping? Did we miss God? We thought the Holy Spirit was so clear, but it's always an unfolding picture. And so there's been decisions that are made. Things have to pivot. It's not, doesn't mean that you're not in sync with the Holy Spirit. In fact, it could be that you really are more than you realize. It's about not giving up, about stepping in simplicity of obedience, and just again, a long obedience in the same direction. And we're just so proud of the Cambridge community, proud of you as a family, and just super encouraged we think about you. Now to the point of today, Scott Rowe. Dude, just wanted to give a video shout out here and just let you, your community, and our whole movement know just, man, how much we treasure you. You've just been, again, the same thing, faithful obedience or obedience in the same direction. I had to put together a little quip or a little quote, you know, for you, for our social media stuff and all that. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to read it right on this context. Here's what I wrote about you when I thought about you, Scott. The beauty of taking a centered set approach to life and faith, as we do in the Vineyard community, is that the same direction at times can look quite meandering and adventuresome. This is Scott, solid and secure and yet ever willing to explore and step out. To use another Vineyard colloquialism, to allow his faith to be spelt in big, bold letters, R-I-S-K, risk. And live in the rhythms of what it means to be a lifelong learner. I love that about you, Scott. Your hands are open. Your heart is open. Your mind is inquisitive and curious about truth, about the things of God, always leaning in to that following of Jesus, but with open hands and an open heart. And yes, the whole while cultivating the heart of a pastor and leaning into compassion for all those that are on the journey. Huge respect and love to you, Scott. Thanks for leading so well. Thanks for staying true. Thanks for loving Cambridge, its people, and tending our vineyard expression within that city and our family all these years. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless all of you. I trust you have just like an amazing time together. I pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be tangible and at work. I pray for the voice and resonance of God's leading to you to be clearer than ever. So in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, just release blessing and love, hope, a bright future to all of you there in the community and to you, Scott. All right. God bless you guys. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'd like to introduce Peter Weeb, who is the regional leader of the vineyards in the Ontario and the lead pastor at the Windsor Vineyard. So I'm going to hand over to him.
Thank you, Phil. So I come to you as a lifelong professional cellist who is still surprised that he's a pastor. And Scott, I wonder if you carried that for a while as a cop from moving to being a pastor and you felt like that for a while. But it's an honor for me to be here today at this celebration and tribute for Scott and April. And Ruth and I want to give greetings from our church, the Windsor Vineyard. And Windsor and Cambridge are two of four vineyards in Ontario that go back to the late 80s when there was just heady days of revival and seeking God and church planters just going for it. The other churches are Sarnia and then the downtown Toronto Vineyard, which goes back to 1991. So we're the churches that are still, Windsor was the very first, by the way, but just saying. And Ruth and I were almost right from the beginning at Windsor as well. And whenever I visit another vineyard, I just feel that common bond, a common approach to gathering and worshiping and inviting the Spirit. And I just have enjoyed that so much this morning. And we also have a common history rooted in the work of the Holy Spirit. We in Windsor are grateful to your community in Cambridge and have benefited from connections with you over the years. For one, our people have been blessed to come to various national gatherings and conferences that you've graciously hosted for many years. More recently in 2021, Art and Cindy came out as we were undergoing a pastoral transition. I became the senior pastor in that year, and they just spent a weekend with us and helped walk us through that. Earlier this summer, Phil and Jen came and spoke, I think back in June, to inspire and encourage us as they told us about their work in João Pessoa. And our church just began supporting them financially this year. And when our leadership team was considering that, I just reached out to Scott and, is this a good idea? Anything you can say? And he just enthusiastically recommended that we do that. And we modestly support them. In the Ontario regions, here's another connection. Most of the pastors are involved in monthly Zoom calls where we gather online and just in friendship and prayer support. And one of my Zoom groups was with Scott for several months, and I really appreciated getting his perspective as an older and wiser, I mean more experienced and wiser pastor. And because Scott served as a regional overseer for some time, that was a great resource for me. And just, you know, that's an over and above kind of a thing that happens that takes up quite a bit of brain space. And so I get that, Scott. One thing that has particularly impressed me about Scott is his devotion to listening to the Spirit and waiting for the voice of the Spirit and doing what he says. In Ephesians 4, we have a familiar passage that tells you about those who labor among us in leadership. Paul is explaining to us that Jesus gave gifts to us. And when we think of gifts, we think of Father gave his Son, the Father and the Son gave us the Spirit, but Jesus also gave gifts to us. Ephesians 4:11, Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Scott is Jesus' gift to you. Tab is Jesus' gift to you. That's what Paul just said. He has pastored you. He has taught you. led you under Jesus' leadership. Jesus is the shepherd. He's a shepherd. He's Jesus' gift to you. And I just want to say with the Cambridge Vineyard, thank you, Scott, for hearing Jesus' call and responding. And I want to say thank you, Jesus, for the gift of Scott. And I also want to say on behalf of the Ontario region and Vineyard Canada that we are for you, Cambridge Vineyard, and so pleased that TAB will be giving effective leadership for the next season. And I also feel that peace you were expressing. Just here with you, I feel that too, about it seems good to us in the Holy Spirit. David mentioned Acts 16 and just the chapter before that, Acts 15, when they were meeting on a difficult issue, and Luke records it seemed good to them and to the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm feeling this morning. And Tab, we're just, as Ontario Vineyard, we're behind you all the way, and we say yes. So Father, I ask you to keep leading this church. You have been faithful through different leaders in different seasons and ebbs and flows and mountains and valleys, but you have been faithful, and this church is in step with your Spirit. Father, would you continue to unfold that for Cambridge Vineyard? And also, Lord, continue just to express yourself through your gift, Scott Rowe, in Jesus' name.
Thank you very much, Peter. So as we now transition from the dynasty of the duck, or the duck dynasty minus the beard, and we enter into the era of the squirrel, looking for her nuts. I didn't come up with this, he did. So I'm going to invite Tab up now to share.
So, Scott, when we were talking about this service, I'm like, do I have to say something? He's like, yes. I'm like, yeah, but do I really have to? And yes, because you all know how much I love working through what I'm going to say. And for those who are really close to me, they know that yesterday I was bawling my eyes out. And this morning I was bawling my eyes out. And so here I am, you know, a mess. And so as I was praying about what to say and what Jesus wanted me to say, I felt, well, really, I remembered a conversation I had with my dad. And it was a conversation that started shortly after my uncle passed away and my grandmother passed away. And it had to do with the balcony of heaven and all the people who had come before. We read this passage in the book of Hebrews, and it tells us about all of these people and all of these things that happened and how they were faithful to hold on to promises. And then when you get to the end of chapter 11 and verse 39, it says this, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. But God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." And then chapter 12 starts. And it says this, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." this passage came to mind. I want to talk to you about legacy. I was thinking about this on Wednesday morning. We're in the month of August, and the month of August in my family consists of 10 birthdays. Starts off with Jeff and my nephew on the 5th, ends with my mom and my sister-in-law on the 31st. 10 birthdays in between. And so this week alone, we have had 4 birthdays in my family. And on Tuesday, it was my sister's birthday. Little she, that's what I call her. And Lee turned 35. Hope you don't mind that I'm spilling the beans, babe. She's 35. The thing about Alyssa, for those of you who know me, I come from a family of 5, if you don't know that. I'm the oldest. I've got 3 brothers. Jason and I are 14 months apart. Derek and I are 3 years apart. My mother has to remind me. Ryan and I are 10 years apart. And it was me and 3 brothers for a very long time. And I prayed for a sister, you know. And finally, she came along when I was 16, just before I was going to turn 17, August 13th, 1989. It's a good year. And in September of 89, I met Jeff. And I was thinking about this in my time when I get my coffee and I sit on my front swing and I read my Bible and I'm praying and I'm lit worshiping and journaling. And I was thinking about 35 years. I was thinking about my sister, 35 years old, her life. This is Wednesday morning. And I think part of it was because my brother Jason, who is 14 months younger than me, made comments on Alyssa's birthday about Jeff and I being 35 years old in our relationship as well. And he was quite emotional as he shared how precious it was that you really don't see that very much in our world today. And I was reflecting on what my brother was saying as he got emotional talking about our relationship that's 35. And as I sat on the swing thinking about the tenderness my brother expressed and the gratitude and the love, and as he turned to his daughter and said, I hope that you find a man like Jeff. He said, I tell people about my brother-in-law and how impressed I am with him and his relationship with my sister, and I hope you find somebody like that. And as I was contemplating these things, it dawned on me, our church is 35 years old. March 9th, we turned 35. And while I was thinking about Alyssa and praying for Alyssa, I thought, 35 years, another 35, she'll be 70. Wow, I wonder what's going to happen in the next 35 years of her life. You know, and I was thinking about this. And then I thought, 35 years with Jeff and everything that's happened. And gee, I wonder what the next 35 years are going to be like. And when it dawned on me that our church was 35 years, I went 35 years of God being faithful and moving and bringing people from across Canada to pull together 6 strangers to pray and intercede, and Steve Stewart rising up, and Dan Wilt, and Art Ray, and Scott Rowe, and this little kid that feels like, you know, the little drummer boy? I feel like the little drummer girl. I don't have anything but a drum. Like, I don't got nothing on me, Jesus. Are you sure you got the right kid? And thinking, what are the next 35 years gonna look like? Legacy. What God begins, he is faithful to complete. And I'll be really honest, I am scared. Give me all the children. I'm okay with the children, but adults are scary. And this morning, while there are beginnings, there are also endings, not only for Scott, but I'm having to let go of our kids in a way. And so while the worship team was practicing, here was Lily sitting over there. And she was quietly singing along with the worship team. And I went to her and I said, Lily, sweet girl, don't you dare let anybody quench that heart of worship that's in you or tell you you can't sing or you shouldn't sing. You sing till your heart's content, sweetheart, because this is what you're going to be doing forever. Before the throne of God, you are going to express your love continuously. And don't you let anyone squash that in you. And then my sister walked in the room. And then I cried all over again. Because I'm 52 in September. She's still a young adult. Right now, technically. This is your last year of young adulting, just so you know. But then behind her are my kids. And I find myself reflecting upon our children and our youth, who I'm going to have to let go of, who are treasures and very dear to me. But the reality is they are the next generation behind us. And when I asked Scott about the kids, I said, hey, you know, like I was hoping he was going to say they can stay in the service. And he goes, oh no, this is a family event. They should be here. And I'm like, yes, yes. I don't care if it makes you adults uncomfortable. Praise God, the children are in the room. Because I love these kids so much. And so children and youth and young adults in the room who have been with us, Jeff and I, for years. Because we've been ministering here for 16 years with Jackie. This is your home. This is your house. Your voice is precious. Your expression of joy, your expression of friendship, your expression of laughter, your emotional upsetness doesn't bother us. You are welcome here. This is a safe house for you. And we will always make a space for you. So while Jeff and I are shifting to bring our crazy squirrelness, you know, when I jump up on chairs and go, I'm the king of the castle. The kids know what this means, you know, when I'm confronting something and I said, you know, your pride, I'm the king of the castle, you're the dirty rascal. When I jump on tables and stuff like that, you're gonna see some of my crazy come out because I have been refined, really I have, in front of you. But kiddos, here's the thing. The people who were here before us at 35 years, who are missing today. I was thinking about this. Jackie, who's not with us, is on that balcony, waiting. Laurel, who used to dance and swirl in our spaces, is watching and waiting. You can think of many more than I can think of off the bat. Bob Horvath or Kathy, your husband. There are many. And here's my point. They're watching. They're waiting. They're cheering us on. And their joy won't be complete until our children's children finish the baton race. Until our children's children finish the race. And then they will receive the reward that we are eagerly waiting for and might not fully see. If you know anything about families, take the quads here. These four precious children back here who mama and dad aren't here, but aunts are, cousins are. And we need all family members to make sure that our kids cross the finish line. And I need you, and you need me. And I won't be perfect. And if I've ever hurt you, I'm sorry. I'm trying my best, but I need to hear you. I need to see you. And our kids' kids need you to be present and safe people for them so that they can look at us and know how to be resilient in the storms that are ahead, faithful to the Lord in all things, even when it's hard, and obedient to picking up their cross and saying, today's a good day to die to that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, don't forget who you are and why you're here. These chairs, while they are comfortable, are not meant to cushion your rear end. This is where you get a spanking. Or as I like to say, I'm about to rip off the tape, and oops, I'm sorry if this hurt, if I do it too quickly. But for many years, our tithes have declined, our volunteers have declined, and there have been faithful people. Let me tell you something. Your age doesn't disqualify you. This man here works miracles. And you might not always know it. And while he can't legally see to drive right now, he is faithfully working in the background for our benefit, consistently, with a heart to serve the Lord and to see us thrive. Not just survive. Jesus died on the cross for a reason. It's so that you could thrive in life. Shine ever brighter. He knows your name if no one else does. He sees you when you think no one else can. So it's time to get up. It's time to stand and be counted. It's time to link arms and move forward. Right, Wes? Right. Yes. All right. There is no thing that can disqualify you other than pride. Your pride will kill you, and it will be the thing that Jesus will discipline you for, and it won't go easy. But if you humble yourself, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing. And if you will faithfully put your presence, your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul, your feet, all of you, in the place and stand united, not divided, we will see miracles once again. The gospel going out, people coming to the Lord, people being healed in presence and love. Today's a good day to die to everything that you thought you knew, and to learn to love again and be loved for legacy's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.